found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
803 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Yeah, we've been consumed with the Texans. Hey, guys, you guys are better than this. Move on from what you think of the head Texan search and front office. Stop being local sports slappies. This is... Okay, no, I disagree. I mean, I did hear a promo yesterday. It's the most important day of the off season,
yeah.
And you can hear it all right here. I mean, I was like, goodness gracious. I honestly...
That's a tough sell.
I don't... Here's why. Listen, it's a big hire. It's important and all that. It's the head coach. Until you get players in here, people. Until you get players in here. Until Nick Caserio. And you're kind of sense that you're a little bit down on Caserio. I'm kind of looking forward to what he's going to do. I liked his draft last year. I mean, we found a guy that's a possibility as a quarterback, a future quarterback here, that even you said he's got Derek Carr capabilities in the third round. He might have found a tight end that will be here for a while. He might have found a special teams guy and maybe even a backup linebacker for years to come. I mean, I thought the draft actually, with what I saw from the guys on the field, was actually pretty good.
I like the Mills. You still have a shot with Mills.
Nico Collins.
I was a Nico guy. I don't care about a backup. I don't care about Roy Lopez. I mean, Roy Lopez is fine. He's a backup level defensive lineman. That's fine. I'm not asking you to do any work magic with fifth and sixth rounders. So I don't care. You didn't have it.
No, but
he didn't have the picks.
But he did okay.
What I didn't like is he traded away a bunch of picks to move up and around to get Garrett Wallow, a special teams guy. That's not necessary.
Yeah.
You traded around. Like, he maneuvered around. He gave away picks. I didn't love that. I thought you could have handled it better. I like Mills.
And for Finley and
I like Mills, the player. I didn't love the situation for the Texans, but I'm more than willing to be wrong if he becomes a player. I don't have a problem with being wrong. Nico, I like the talent of Nico. I didn't love the way they handled. He was another one that they had multiple trades to try to get to a spot. Here's the deal. This year is very intriguing to me because my first mock just came out and the haters were hating. We need to read some of those.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is my favorite day of the year.
It was good. Yeah,
it's when everybody hates on Lance for his mock draft.
Even my editor is like, whoo.
Where is it?
You know what people are most mad about? I had the Texans flip-flopping from 3 to 5. I had the Giants trading ahead of the Jets. It's just a fun little thing, you know. So I say, okay, the Giants will want an offensive lineman, so they're going to move ahead of the Jets, who they fear will take an offensive lineman. We'll flip-flop with the Texans. That's two spots. That's not a big deal. Let's flip-flop that. You know what fans were mad about? You didn't even give what the compensation was. I didn't give the compensation terms for a fake trade for a fake draft? Here, the only thing you need to know is you don't get their number 7 pick, okay?
Where are the comments?
This is what you get. This is what you need to know. You don't get the Giants' other top 10 pick. You're moving up two spots in a bad draft. That will get you a second rounder.
You jerk.
I'm not going to give you a transaction of a fake trade in a fake draft. What in the world is wrong with you people? Just assume it's a future draft pick. Okay,
well, you move said along. Projected trade with Texans. The Giants move up in the deal. What did they give up?
Exactly.
How am I supposed to know?
Exactly. You got to judge the fake trade. Like, who's making these trades? That's trash. They're just mad that they couldn't tell me that it's trash what I said. The fact is, you're moving up two spots in a bad draft. You're not going to get a future first.
Where are the
like
comments?
That.
Where are the comments? I see that they're your trap, but I don't see the comments for it. Oh, it's on Twitter? Is that where it is? Are the comments on Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah. NFL, at NFL Draft, I think is what it's called.
Gosh,
at NFL Draft. So, yeah, there's some pretty good ones.
Okay.
There's some pretty good ones.
I am NFL Draft. Oh, don't worry. Here it is right here. Bing, bing, bing. Spencer is here. What do you think about the Texans head coaching job, Spencer?
Well, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the way they conducted the search. But then, you know, once they announced that they were going to hire Smith, I liked it. But I got to be honest with you. Once I heard the press conference, I loved it. Dab, dab.
He just dab, dab?
I love eat it. He just gave you a, yeah. He dabbed.
He dabbed. Then he dabbed. Yeah. Oh, he did a leg dab?
He did a leg dab, I think.
No, it was a dab.
He loved it. Once he heard it, he loved it. Dab, dab. He said he called yesterday. He wanted a dab yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I got to take my time and go through these. They're wonderful. So in the next segment, we will get to Lance's mock draft reaction. We will get to Lance's mock draft reaction in the next segment right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you think about – okay, let's move on for a minute. What did you think about
– man, Lovey's
the Trailblazers just giving up?
I was pretty surprised, but there has been talk about them moving C.J. McCollum. So it's not the first time there's been talk about that. I think it also – speaks to the fact that, you know, I watched, obviously, the Pelicans the other day when they came in town. I'll tell you what, they've got an interesting collection of players, and that doesn't even include Zion Williamson. Zion is such a disaster right now. I feel bad for New Orleans. New Orleans has Zion Williams. Chris Paul got out of there. Anthony Davis got out of there and forced his way out. Now Zion's just basically just too heavy to play basketball. Well, what a bad set of circumstances for New Orleans. You watch John Morant, who has a chance to be MVP this year, and you drafted Zion, and you had to. I get it. You know, you couldn't draft 120-pound John Morant, who was spectacular in college. You draft this freak show. Oh, this guy can explode through the gym. He's blah, blah, blah. And then he's so heavy he can't get right. He can't physically get right. And there's already, you know, talk leaking out that he, you know, he wanted to get his way out of it. He wants out of New Orleans anyway. I just feel bad for New Orleans. It's not a good thing when teams can have Anthony Davis and Zion Williamson. You can't even get him to play for you anymore. Like, that's a really, really bad thing. And with Zion, I know it's his quote-unquote injury, but I don't think he's helping himself get back on the court.
No.
So there's too much weight on his joints, on his lower body. And I think it's an issue. But when you look at him, Brandon Ingram is a terrific talent. Just a terrific talent.
You saw him the other night, right?
Yeah. CJ McCollum out there. You got Herb Jones, who's a great defender. You got CJ McCollum, who is a terrific shooter and scorer. Like, that's a pretty interesting team all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, they got rid of Josh Hornets. Hart, who's a pretty good player. And
yeah.
And
but you pick
Nikhil
up,
Alexander Walker apparently is going to be.
But you pick up a guy who is an immediate, you know, who's a good shooter, good scorer. Like, I think that's a good addition, where it almost feels like the team said, we want to give our fans something to be really excited about.
Yeah, well, now they got some good players.
As opposed to Zion, who just...
Yeah. Now they got some good players. If Zion could actually get on the court, it would be... Yeah, there might be just something to him, some substance to him. 811, 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. When we come back, we got to go through some of the comments for Lance on his mock draft. This is my favorite day of the year. So we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But in the meantime, you, my friend, need to talk about Craig DeSurf.
Yeah, and Gulf Coast Chevrolet. I mean, that's who I'm talking about, really. It's a company who's out there making the best offers for you. They're coming up with some of the best rates they can. 0% financing offers are available for you right now. But I want to give you another example of what you can look for. How about the GMC side? Two of my favorite words when it comes to buying a new vehicle are 0%. No financing rate. And this gets offered from time to time. And it's back right now on the GMC Sierra 1500 Limited Crew Cab for very well-qualified buyers. If you're looking for a new truck, I want you to visit Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. You can either do it in person in Angleton and go take test drives and go see them for yourself, or you can do it online at lancezcars.com. But they've got they know trucks, obviously, at the company, and they've got brand new GMC Sierra 1500s in stock or in transit right now. So there's never been a better time. They'll never go over MSRP. A lot of other people are really gouging prices. That's just not the way Craig DeSurf operates. He's going to get you the highest number he possibly can for your trade-in value to entice you to come with him, and then you're going to get a great vehicle at a great price and service after the sale. They don't want to just sell you the vehicle and you're done. They want to take care of you for any of your needs beyond the sale. The GMC 1500 Sierra Limited is a fantastic-looking light-duty pickup truck, and 0% financing is available for well-qualified buyers. Gulf Coast, Chevy, Buick, GMC, and Angleton. GMC, we are professional grade.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast, Chevrolet, and Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97. Lance is a little thin-skinned. Well, other than this, LOL, the Jets going back-to-back DBs in the first round. Get a clue, Zerline. I love that. That's a good one. Except nobody, I didn't see one clown. I haven't seen. I see the Simpsons, all the people with torches walking towards Lance. Okay. Kyler Gordon at 23 being called a steal. I am reading Lance's mock draft. First of all, he has the Jets taking safety Kyle Hamilton with the fourth pick. And then he has them taking, I think it's Elam at number 10. Two defensive backs. And people are hating on him because who is it? Who do you have at 10?
I think Trent McDuffie.
Oh, McDuffie. You still have Thibodeau on the board at when the Jets pick
with their first pick, not Tim.
Yeah, their first pick.
Yeah. So,
well, they're all saying no, Saleh ain't doing that. Of course, wasn't it the Jets that took Jamal Adams?
Jets don't want Thibodeau. I'm just telling you right
that's
now.
That's a different. It was a different front office, but the Jets wouldn't take a safety with the fourth pick.
Yeah.
I mean, people are really upset.
Problem is. Thibodeau is going to fall in this draft, and I don't know who you want. Like, who do you want? I guess you could get Sauce Gardner at 4. Mm. I guess. I don't know. I don't know who you're. I don't know who you're going to get there. You could get an offensive lineman in that spot, but I also had the Giants trading ahead of them and taking one of the offensive linemen. So it's messy. This is a messy draft. It's not filled with.
Well, It doesn't seem like it's really, really top-heavy. People are upset with you that the Buccaneers are not going to give Kyle Trask a shot. That's on you, that you're an idiot.
One guy goes, even if he's terrible, he's going to get a shot. Well, that's a ringing endorsement. Well,
what did the Texans get from the Giants? You said prayers. He said
prayer cards.
Prayer cards. Why are you responding to this, people?
Because that's part of my fun. That's part of my fun. What are they getting from the Giants in the trade? I said prayer cards.
How are people so bad at this? Jeremy said to you. Apparently, you McDuffie at 12. Wow. Okay then.
Yeah, I know it's too low.
Karlaftis and Linderbaum, big fallers. You're dumb. You dumb.
Well, Linderbaum's hard to – it's hard to place a 6'2", 290-pound center who's only zone scheme. Like, that's not an easy thing to do. He's not going to be a – everyone wants to put him with Philly. He's not going to Philly. They have Landon Dickerson who plays center so for when Kelsey leaves. So, yeah, it's – and then Karlaftis, I just don't see him. Like, this happens every year. You're told by Todd McShay and Mel Kiper where everyone is going. And then they get it wrong. They don't know because they haven't watched tape. Like, go look at Todd McShay's new top 32 and go compare it to Daniel Jeremiah's first mock draft. All of a sudden, guys who weren't – I've told you this before. Guys who he didn't even have in the top 32 now have shot up to, like, from not rated to 17 to 14 now that DJ put him in a mock draft. So that's what I'm saying is people are working off the narratives that they're given. When I had – Kyler Murray way up the draft board my first mock 3 years ago or 2 years ago, whatever it was. Oh, the hate I got from that was crazy.
Oh, down the line. Give the Vikings Malik Willis, you coward. This is the dumbest.
Damn, that's hateful. Hey.
This is the dumbest ship I've ever seen. Only he didn't say ship. This draft is about as good as your brisket. Hashtag ship. And you got Henry Hill laughing at you. You got a guy turning and saying a WTF. You've got
that's excitement.
That is
that's somebody's happy.
Oh, Jordan Davis. What about this woman saying trash? Okay, yeah. Your mock draft is trashed. This is my favorite day of the year.
It's literally
it's mock draft. It's response literally day.
A fake draft where I'm just I've forgotten about it until 1 o'clock, and my editor goes, "You almost done?" I'm like, oh, mock draft is due at noon. Oh my god! So I had to. When I say rush, it took 4 hours.
This is very bad, big, soggy diaper mode.
I just saw that one.
I did like that.
That might be my favorite.
I think I liked that or retweeted it.
You did?
Yeah. No, that was a good one.
Oh, you got a like. Yeah, there's likes. I'll like it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Big, soggy diaper mode.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Oh, people, even your editor felt like people.
He thought they were too. He goes, I thought you had some very reasonable stuff in there. He goes, it doesn't matter until they finally realize that what they've been told over the last 2 months from guys who aren't watching enough tape isn't right, then they'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be too late. First mock is always because I come in with some stuff that they aren't going to be used to seeing. Although I actually was more calm with it. I almost threw some names in there that really would have shaken some things up. But Karloftis to me, I don't know. Because he's a big, strong white guy, people are like, Bosa. Look at what TJ Watt. TJ Watt. Like, he's not TJ Watt. He's not a Bosa and he's not a Watt.
Yeah.
Just because a guy is a big white guy doesn't mean he gets to be a Watt or a Bosa.
That's
a good stereotype. I mean, it's an awfully favorable stereotype, but here's the problem with that. Teams will watch a tape and they'll say, hey, he's not Watt or Bosa.
Yeah.
So I think Karloftis will probably go on the first. I gave him a second round grade. I'm giving a lot of guys second round grades. I was looking at my grades. This is the lowest amount of 6.4s that I've ever given out. And I was talking to Daniel Jeremiah last night about his grades on some of these guys because we use the same scale. And he's higher. I'm just like, wow, I don't have a guy this high. I don't have Trayvon Walker. I don't have a first round grade on him from Georgia. He's a first round run stopper and he's a third round pass rusher. Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, that's a second rounder to me. This league is about rushing a passer too.
Speaking of stereotypes, did you see the NFL memes? NFL memes put a picture.
That's
a good follow. NFL at NFL memes put a picture of Cooper Kupp and said, "Lord, please forgive Cooper Kupp for what he's about to do to Eli Apple and during Black History Month."
Oh, no.
713-780-3776.
Hey, by the way, there's a pretty cool – I wanted more. I wanted it to be actually more X's and O's, but NFL Network has something – or NFL – yeah, Network that you can find on NFL.com where Cooper Kupp sat down with Torrey Holt.
Oh, yeah.
And they go through different plays with each other, but it's not as X's and O's intense. But – there's some of it. Like, they're talking shop. They talk shop a little bit about some stuff that Torrey Holt did and then some things that Cooper Kupp did. I thought it was pretty interesting. So if you're into that kind of stuff, you might want to just go to NFL.com and you'll be able to find that on there. It's I don't know. It's a series that they're doing, but that one was pretty interesting to me.
Yeah. Let's get Garrett in here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about this Lovie Smith thing. What do you say, Garrett?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
How's it going?
Hey, man, I'm telling you right now, if McCown got hired on, you want to talk about fire torches going to NRG. I think the Lovie Smith is a kind of an easy, safe kind of deal. But, I mean, we got to see what happens.
Absolutely. No. I mean, hey. I'm hoping Lovie wins 12 games next year. I don't think he will because of the talent on the field, but hey, at least listen, Lovie Smith is an experienced, he is a bona fide.
It's weird to say a guy.
He's a real, real, real hire.
But it is weird to say that a guy whose last two head coaching jobs resulted in, a 25-63 record, and he's over 60 years old and defensive coordinator for one of the lesser defenses in all of football last year. It's weird to call it a safe hire.
It was a no,
but it actually is.
It is.
But that's
they had on their table.
Exactly. So it's you got to have context. It's also the time that we're in. He's an African American coach when there was just primarily white coaches hired. So It is a different, you know, it's a little different setup. But that is the only time that you will ever say that this particular setup was a safe hire. And yet, he's right. That did end up being a safe hire. Lovie Smith, if you didn't hear it. Tyler, let's play it again. At the press conference, Lovie Smith talked about the fact that he intimated that he was never even given an official interview for the position. Here's Lovie Smith talking about that. Oh, hold on. We're going to get that in a second. Tyler, we'll get that for you in a second. But Lovie basically acknowledged that everything that we thought, even though the Texans told Adam Schefter after he had his initial tweet that, oh, Lovie has emerged as a new candidate in Texans. No, he's always been a candidate. We just didn't, you know, interview him. Here he is right now, Lovie Smith, talking about that process.
Sometimes when you're just doing your job, most of us, as we're just doing our job, we're being interviewed for a job, you could say. So I don't know exactly when I became a candidate. I just know that, just like all of you, I know Nick interviewed and McNair family interviewed a lot of different people. And for me, I was in the background giving advice. And after they looked at those people, they got to see me in just about every situation. I've done it before. That's all I know. Just knowing when I got the call, I was excited and knew that I could lead our program to that next level.
He didn't really. It's okay. Who cares? Who cares? Lovie Smith is the right choice for right now. We'll see what happens. It's sad. He's going to have his last two jobs. Now this one as well. His record isn't going to be good. It's not on him. He has had really very little to work with at Illinois and Tampa, and he's got even less to work with here. So feel bad for him. This is a rebuild, and he's responsible for it. Man, if he does come up big though, if they win some games, okay, huge success next. I'm going to tell you this: 8-9. Is it a huge success next year?
It's a modest success.
I think it's a success. I think it's a big success.
Modest success. I can't call it losing. Just
after 2 4-win seasons, to double that in 1 year, roster.
If that's what you're shooting for, that's fine. But huge success just sounds like a little bit of hyperbole.
Huge success.
I mean, huge success when you're a losing record, what does that mean?
8-9 is just...
Is that the best shorts?
Frankly.
Is that somebody who bought the best short sleeve suit? Hey, cool short sleeve suit. It's still a short sleeve suit. Who cares?
Well, it's
like
a
8-9
really,
is
yeah, but
is
if it's
the
a
new
really
bar.
Cool one, then guess what? It's a huge success.
Yeah, I can't use the tallest. Mm.
828.
Remember the tallest?
Yeah, I remember that.
Tallest little person. You can still say that.
Yeah,
I guess. Seems insensitive still. Say tallest little person, it's still a little person.
How about the hairiest bald guy?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Well, don't be the
hairiest. Do you have a Linville spot here?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Phenomenal stuff. That's A-rated. That's an A-rated segue right there. Hairiest bald guy is an A-rated segue.
Hairiest bald guy is what you might be right now, and Doc Linville wants to make you the hairiest guy with hair, right? That's what he does, not the hairiest bald guy. Here's the deal. If you're looking for a great way to get hair again, people, you just hate. I was thinking about the other day, the mangy, it was just so terrible. My head, the top of my head was so, everybody making fun. Oh, look at the giant 9-iron divot you got out of the back here. It was awful. You know what? Now people are like, man, your hair looks great. Thank you. Good night. But I give all thanks to my savior. Well, he's my hair savior, Doc Linville. If you're looking for the best way to save your hair, take it from the side, put it on the top. And oh, by the way, that hair doesn't fall out. You notice how bald guys, they all got that side hair all the time. Well, guess what? That hair doesn't fall out. So it gets to the top of your head, doesn't fall out. Process is wonderful. You will love it. It's easy. It's basically painless as opposed to, wow, before the old system that they used to use, Doc Linville found the neo-grafting, which is much better. You're looking for a great way to get hair again? Do it. Do it. Do it now. Go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
97.5. The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We would be remiss if we did not address the best betting day of the year. And to get you there, to help you out, Anita Marks is joining us. She hosts ESPN's Daily Wager, which, by the way, they're going to have a special edition on ESPN2 on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Central. So you got to be watching Anita Marks this Sunday, but listen to her here. Anita, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate you being here.
Hey, before we get started, I want to get the bet, because I've watched you on some of ESPN's programming before, and I think I'd already been following you at some point, but I'm curious, like, what is your background? How did you tell people how you got started in this particular business and the handicapping and wagering side?
I'm going to embarrass my family, but when I was a young girl, I used to spend a lot of time with my grandfather, and he was an avid gambler. And so on Sundays in the morning, we would sit down and we would pull out the paper and look at the lines, and I was like 7, 8, 9 years old. I'd sit there having breakfast with my grandfather. We'd talk about the lines. We would talk about what games we were going to bet on. And then he would line everything out for me on one of those big, long, yellow legal pads. And he'd have me call his bookie and put in the bet. So I've been buying points. I've been talking parlays, money line parlays, teasers since I was a pup. So and then it was really interesting, right? Because I've been in the business for a hot second, and I remember, you know, it's just I've been gambling my whole life. So to me, gambling is sports. And I used to be called into the principal's office. I'm sure you guys have a time or two, and had my hand slapped by the program director or general manager. And he said, "You can't talk about gambling. Like, it's illegal." And I just assumed everybody had a bookie, right? Like, everybody has a bookie. So it's unbelievable to me, and it's refreshing, and it's exciting that now we've come full circle, and I actually get paid to talk about gambling, and I don't get in trouble for it.
That's
so
cool.
So I actually started at a very young age because of my father. My grandfather was a degenerate.
That is awesome. That
but
is
you
awesome.
Say that, but. Trust me, degenerate, we know that that's a term of love.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a term of love.
That's right. We all have degenerates if we're not ourselves in our lives. Anita Marks with us here, ESPN's The Daily Wager. This game is so different than every other game because of all the prop bets. And Anita, you don't get this kind of the ability to be. Is it as simple when you're looking at a game like this, like, how much better the Rams defensive line is than the Bengals offensive line, that I can make I don't know how many wagers just off of that in this game?
You can, but tread lightly, gentlemen. A few things that I have uncovered here in my preparation and my deep dive into this. Ever since that 9-sack game against the Tennessee Titans, the Cincinnati Bengals have changed their pass protection mindset. They really, for a large part of the time, had Joe Burrow back there empty set. Like, you know, they didn't even have, like, a running back there to help him with pass pro 50, 60% of the time. And, they're, you know, then they went up against, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. And if you look at what they are doing differently, a few things. Number one, they're keeping tight ends home more than before. So you got tight ends that are staying home, either helping with pass protection or chip blocking. And we're seeing a lot more Samaje Perine in that backfield, especially on third down. Why? He's the better blocking running back, more so than Joe Mixon. So, and one more thing to throw in here, Joe Burrow is just a magician against blitz-happy defenses. Go back and, you know, you've got a Rams team, a Rams defense, they're top 5 in blitz rate. Go back and look at Joe Burrow's stats and what they were able to do against the Baltimore Ravens, who are a top 3 blitz rate team in the NFL. So with all that combined, the fact that now the Cincinnati Bengals are more committed offensively to pass protection, on top of just how excellent Joe Burrow is against the blitz, They're one of my favorite bets out there, and it's my favorite because of the odds that you're getting on it, and that is that the Cincinnati Bengals will log more sacks than the Rams, and you can get that at +310 because you've got Trey Hendrickson on the opposite side of the line. You've got Matthew Stafford, who's been sacked quite frequently this season. It's not like he's got a top five, top 10 offensive line, you know, especially you've got some guys that have been beat up as of late. I mean, heck, everybody is at this stage in the game. And also you've got a quarterback who holds on to the ball too long in Matthew Stafford. So, you know, I know that's the biggest mismatch heading into this game is Aaron Donald and Von Miller and Leonard Floyd and those guys at front seven against a subpar offensive line for Cincinnati. But I think Cincinnati has made some adjustments. Joe Burrow is excellent against blitz-happy teams. I just think for +310, I think it's an interesting bet and could be a very lucrative one for you.
I think, you know, and that's what I think is the key to handicapping is you always look, everything that's a known fact is accounted for. Right. So when you have players who are out, a lot of times the biggest mistake that is made is when you have players out, everyone plays the other side. And yet I can't tell you how many times in my life I've seen that side get faded and beaten badly when everyone's on the side that doesn't have the injuries. Well, the line has been adjusted because of it. There is a natural inclination to let down. I started thinking about this. Everyone already knows about the pass rush issue, including the Bengals. So the Bengals aren't just going to go into this and say, well, we'll just see what happens. They're going to game plan around the known issue and the known matchup concern. They're going to account for it and scheme around it, Anita.
Oh,
now, can
no
they
doubt.
Do it? They have
since that Tennessee game.
Right.
That they were fortunate enough to win because Ryan Tannehill threw three interceptions. So they already have, again, in Joe Burrow, I trust. I doubted him. I doubted the Cincinnati team against Tennessee. I doubted them against Kansas City. Heck, guys, I think it's more impressive that they beat the Kansas City Chiefs twice within 30 days than anything else, right? Like, I can't doubt them again. I know that this Rams team on paper, you look at Odell Beckham Jr., Aaron Donald, they bring in Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, arguably best wide receiver this year in the NFL. I get all that, but there is something special with the Cincinnati team from Joe Burrow to obviously, you know, the roster, everybody stepping up. I love their coaching staff. Their coaching staff has made some of the best adjustments in the second half. I mean, I'm going back to that Kansas City game. Patrick Mahomes looked pedestrian the second half. Why? The defensive changes they made in the secondary coming out in the second half of
their
that Kansas
DC
City game,
good.
Which helped that helped them win. Mm-hmm. So they're the second least penalized team in the NFL. I could go on and on. I think this game is going to be a lot more competitive, and the fact that you could get 4.5. I think Cincinnati has a chance of winning outright.
Wow.
If anything, this game comes down to a field goal. Let's be honest. I'd rather have McPherson over Gay anytime, 7 days a week and twice on Super Bowl Sunday. I just think this game very well can come down to 3 points. And if I'm getting Cincinnati at +4.5, I think that's the side you want to be on.
Anita Marks, ESPN's Daily Wager, which you can watch a special edition Sunday morning at 10 on ESPN2. Jalen Ramsey says he wants Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think about that matchup and taking Ja'Marr Chase in over catches and yards?
Or under.
Right.
Good. Let him take Ja'Marr Chase because the wide receiver I've been on since day one is T. Higgins.
Yeah. He's been a good player in the postseason.
Maybe I'm bitter because Ja'Marr Chase single-handedly lost me 3 of my fantasy football championships. In week 16. So, you know, but, besides the personal issues with Ja'Marr Chase, that was, of course, the game that he put up over 250 receiving yards against, Kansas City, of course. But, you know, you've got T. Higgins has put up over his over under last I checked, and that was yesterday, was, 68.5. He's put up almost 100 receiving yards the last 2 weeks. ever since that game against Kansas City, defenses, secondaries, they've been eyeing Ja'Marr Chase, and for good reason. He's really special. He, obviously, the chemistry between him and Joe Burrow goes back to LSU. But T. Higgins is a really top-notch wide receiver as well. And if that coverage, it's interesting because Jalen Ramsey doesn't necessarily man up on one wide receiver 100% of the time. Like maybe he'll spend 80% of the time on a wide receiver. But if you look at his numbers, the Rams aren't necessarily a team that just go Imano one-on-one 100% of the time. But do I expect Ramsey to be on Ja'Marr Chase the majority of the time? Absolutely. Which is music to my ears because I'm on the overs for T. Higgins. Again, which last time I checked, I want to say it was like 68.5 receiving and 5.5 reception. So I like the overs. I like the overs on those.
I played the over twice on Higgins and for the same reason in the postseason, and it's gotten there twice and once easily in the first half. So I'm kind of with you on that. Sometimes that's the thing, you have to anticipate game plans and then adjust accordingly. I do remember though, you know, Jalen Ramsey, if he talks, you also have to remember that he's a guy that has played man-to-man 100% of the reps against DeAndre Hopkins in the past when he was in Jacksonville and D-Hop was here in Houston. And so I'm sure Jalen is going to put the cape on for that as well. The question will be whether or not the defense coordinator allows him to do that. So yeah, there's a lot of interesting prop bets. Do you have any other prop bets that kind of stand out to you that are either cross-sport or that are on the more interesting side?
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few interesting ones. I mean, you know, I'm on the overs for Joe Burrow in regard to yards, attempts, completions. Like I said, I think, you know, the Rams are going to be blitzing the heck out of him, and I think he's going to be tossing the rock a lot. I just told you, T. Higgins. I'm on the unders with all running backs. I don't think the rushing attack on either side is going to have success on Sunday, so I'm on the unders in regard to rushing yards for Cam Akers as well as Joe Mixon. One of my sneaky good bets that I believe will hit is over 1.5 receptions for Samaje Perine. As I shared with you earlier, he's been playing the majority of third down. So think about third down and long, blitz coming, little swing route out to the right side, left side. And so over 1.5 receptions for a dude who's playing, you know, 85-90% on third down and utilized, I want to say he got five targets and four receptions his last game. So I think, again, this is one of the adjustments that the Bengals are making because of pass protection, so I like that. And there's some, I mean, here's a fun one for you. All four wide receivers, Odell, Cooper Kupp, Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase, over 49.5 receiving yards, and you could get that at plus money. I think that's a fair number for all four wide receivers who I think all four are going to get some action. And I think that both teams' passing game is going to be in full effect as opposed to their rushing attack. So I like that one as well.
How about a buddy of mine bets both teams will lead in this game?
I've never seen that before. That's an interesting one.
I like that. I can see that. Absolutely. So a few things. Number one, the Cincinnati Bengals are one of the worst teams offensively and defensively in the first quarter. So typically more times than not, 80% of the time, they're trailing in the first quarter. So I'm going to play the Rams to score first. I'm going to play the Rams money line in the first quarter. Okay. And then, like I said, I really like this coaching staff for the Bengals. They're one of the best teams in the NFL in adjustments. They typically go in at the half down, and their best quarter is the third quarter. So I like where your friend is headed. I think the Rams will go on the board first. The Rams are the best team in regard to first series score. So we scripted whatever 14, 16 plays that Sean McVay puts together is the best in the NFL. So I can see the Rams going up maybe 3-0, you know, first. The Bengals, again, offensively and defensively struggle in the first quarter and then make some adjustments, come back. I can see them having a great third quarter. They go up in the third quarter, and then it gets really dicey in the fourth quarter. Again, guys, I think this is going to come down to a field goal. So obviously, I think you can assume how I'm playing this. I love the Bengals plus 4.5. I'm going to play them on the money line. I'm going to tease them up to plus 10.5. I'm going to tease the under down with that to 42.5, or the over down to 42.5. And I also love Cincinnati over 21.5 team total points.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Anita Marks, I love it. Big Joe Burrow fan here. So I love that. I hope it turns out all great for you. Anita Marks, ESPN's Daily Wager, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock on ESPN2. You can watch it and get all the information she has up to the minute on Sunday morning. Anita, thanks for joining us. We appreciate your time. Great talking to you.
You got it. Hopefully my prediction is right, and hopefully we will all make money and be smoking Joe Burrow cigars
late
Sunday night.
On Sunday night, Joe Burrow cigars, baby. That is awesome. Anita Marks right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great stuff. All right, I got to talk about Patrick Chastang and Joe Chastang and the great people over at Chastang Ford, 80-plus years. And in the month of February, if you buy a vehicle from Chastang Ford, you get a Yeti cooler. How's that? That is awesome. How about in the month of February? How about every month when you buy a vehicle from Chastang Ford, they don't do any, they don't add on, okay? They don't mark up. A lot of these dealerships are marking up $5,000, $10,000. I'm not even joking. This is really happening out there. Well, it's so hard, the car market. We have to put another $5,000 on there. Sorry about that. Are you kidding me? We came to terms on a deal, and then you throw a markup of $5,000, or you want me to add on leather seats or whatever it is, and you're going to add another $3,000 to my vehicle? Are you kidding me? Listen. We don't do that. No, not doing that at Chastang Ford. What you're getting is the best vehicle the way you want it at the price you have to have it at. No markups, no add-ons. Ain't doing that ever at Chastang Ford. It's at ChastangFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, one place to go, Chastang Ford.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Can't tell you how many people have tweeted out the Central Florida hit on Joe Burrow. It's making the rounds on Twitter today. If you've got a timeline, you're following anybody, they've retweeted it, liked it. So one of your friends have retweeted or whatever.
Vanderbilt. There's a Vanderbilt hit, too, I didn't know about. Did you know about that one?
The Vanderbilt hit?
Google Vanderbilt, Joe Burrow hit.
Oh, yeah.
He got clobbered more than once.
This one, he took the hit. LSU was losing 13-3. They won the game. They went on to win the game. He never lost another college football game. Never lost another college football game. He will be the first quarterback to ever have won the Heisman, the national championship, and the Super Bowl. The first quarterback to ever do that. Also,
If he does it. The first time?
First time a quarterback has ever won the Heisman, national championship, and Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm sure it's right. You say it. You wouldn't say
now,
something
not
wrong.
The first player, but the first quarterback.
Oh, not the first. So there's been running backs in, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think... I'm pretty sure it, but the stat is the first quarterback. This is another stat, crazy stat. Did you know that we're in the middle of a month that only happens once every 823 years? This month happens once every 823 years.
Why?
There are four Sundays, four Mondays, four Tuesdays, four Wednesdays, four Thursdays, four Fridays, and four Saturdays.
So four of all the days.
Four of all the days. It only happens once every 823 years.
Something special is going to happen.
It's a special month.
So I played lottery yesterday.
What? Do four, four,
with some
four,
numbers.
Four, four.
Well, I played some numbers that came to me. Nothing.
Well, you didn't play four, 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 four.
823 years. What can we do with this?
823. Play the number 823.
Play it.
Play
the,
444.
Pick three.
The three. Yeah, the three. What's the three lottery
pick
thing?
Pick three. Yeah.
Yeah, pick three.
We also just had a caller, Chase. He said that Joe Namath and Joe Montana both did what you were talking about.
Joe Montana did.
He was not a Heisman.
No.
Yeah, that, so
he was definitely not a Heisman.
They did. I'm telling you right here and now, Joe Burrow will be the first to win the Heisman, the national championship, and the Super Bowl.
No. Only two quarterbacks have ever claimed both a college football national title and Super Bowl win. Namath and Montana.
Yeah, but they didn't win the Heisman.
Yeah.
They didn't win the Heisman.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's national title and Super. Yeah, neither of them won the Heisman.
It's See, all
stop
great.
Trying to fade John. You're gonna end up wrong on the wrong side of that one.
Right.
By the way, I am on the other side of Anita Marks with the running game. I think Cam Akers has a big game in this one.
Now, I saw a stat the other day that I think, what's his over-under, like 62.5 yards?
I have not seen what the number is. I was just looking at it. It didn't have it on this other side.
I thought I saw that earlier in the week. But in the past three games, he's gone under. So the under has been 3-0 on him. So I don't know if that trend continues.
One of them was he was hurt, though, right?
He got it was like the first game that he came back from injury.
I think that you will see the Bengals really put an excessive amount of coverage and game planning into slowing down Cooper Kupp. And the only way you can do that is making sure that your defensive backs are engaged with the wide receiver. And that's going to open up opportunities for Cam. So I just think Cam Akers will get there. You remember how bad the Rams were in the last Super Bowl? One of the worst. It was a Butler in the national championship game type offense. Is it the worst Super Bowl ever? Patriots versus Rams? 13-3.
Well, it was the final 13-3.
Was that the final?
No, that wasn't the worst ever.
Who was the worst?
The worst. No.
That game sucked.
There was a Cowboy game like Super Bowl 5 or 6 or something that was, Mike... the field goal by the Colts. There was a Colts field goal that made it like 9-6. It was just awful. Just if you go, no. There have been really bad Super Bowl.
And Super Toe Davis with a squared off toe with his face up straightforward kick, just like Superfoot. The game where you smack the guy on the head. Like, I don't care about football. I mean, over the last 30 years, it's easily the worst.
No.
There's a worst game.
San Diego played San Francisco or Denver played.
It's a blowout.
Super blowout.
It's a blowout. I just mean this was really incompetent offense.
Oh. Yeah, well, San Diego had really incompetent offense.
Yeah, I guess you have to define what it
Denver's
is.
Denver's been blown out.
I remember
the Bills have been blown out.
There was never a time where I was excited about that Super Bowl. With the Rams and the Rams,
at least it was somewhat close. It was a score away.
Yeah, but I think I had more hope though. I didn't have hope, but they were 17-point dog, the Chargers in the game you're talking about. They were a huge underdog. We knew that was going to happen. We didn't expect this to be this terrible.
No, but no, there have been some real stinkers, dude. Stinkers.
Well, they've been blowouts, but neither team was worth the crap on offense. It was this was Tom Brady. Managed 13. Jared Goff got 3. Probably accidentally. It was probably a defensive... It's probably a turnover that got him in scoring position. They were atrocious.
Steelers 16-6 over Minnesota. Just a stinker. Cowboys 24-3 over the Dolphins. That sucks. Everybody hated that game.
Okay, might I interest you in these? Let me just give you some.
Just awful. There's been some awful, awful Super Bowls, dude. Last year, notwithstanding, the Chiefs and 49ers was kind of exciting. The Eagles and Patriots was kind of exciting. The Patriots and Falcons was exciting.
Yes. Those are all exciting.
Patriots Seahawks was exciting. For the most part, we have been, there have been a lot of, like the Seahawks and Broncos, 43-8, that sucked. That really sucked. Ravens and 49ers was 34-31. Giants and Patriots came down to the last plays.
So
we've had some good ones.
So the score, I guess it was close because the score was 3-3 in the third.
Yeah, it was close.
It was 3-0 at half. That was terrible.
There but was it was Tom close. Brady, at least you didn't know who's going to win.
Tom Brady threw for once they scored a touchdown with Sony Michel as a boat race, 10-3, game was over. They scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. You had 3 points. You had zero in the first quarter, three in the second quarter, three in the third quarter, and 10 in the fourth quarter. Total points. Tom Brady threw for 262 yards with one interception and no touchdown. Jared Goff was 19-38 for 229, one interception, no touchdown.
Awesome.
Todd Gurley ran for 35 yards.
Just
Sony,
awesome.
Was Sony Michel the MVP? No, he should have been probably. I think they gave. Did they give it to Tom? He had 18 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. He should have been the MVP.
Yeah,
right?
He should have been.
Was he the MVP?
No, they gave it to Brady. They always give it to Brady.
Julian Edelman had 10 catches for 141.
Oh, Edelman was the MVP.
It had to have been Edelman.
It was Edelman. Edelman was the MVP.
And Brandon Cooks had 8 catches for 120. Basically, the quarterbacks were terrible, but two guys got off, Brandon Cooks and Julian Edelman.
Yeah. Well, and Sony Michel.
And Sony Michel. Yeah. And they scored 16 total points.
Yeah. That's just awful. No, but at least it was some. There was a little. No, that was a terrible game. No question. You know what we got? What's wonderful?
3-0 at half.
You know what's wonderful? This Christmas, giving her the best, next best thing to wearing nothing at all. Soft, silky, naturally nude pajamas available exclusively at Pajamagram. Sensuous and smooth, naturally nude pajamas feel just like her soft skin, even more alluring than a lingerie. The texture and touch of these pajamas is so seductive that you'll both love the feel of them. Leave nothing to the imagination. Naturally nude pajamas. She'll love the feeling of wearing next to nothing at all. Best of all, Pajamagram does the wrapping for you with free gift packaging. Order today, and Pajamagram will also listen. Order it today, right now, or you can text the word gift GIFT to 41234. The word gift to 41234. You're looking for the best naturally nude pajamas from Pajamagram. Make sure you tell them John Granato sent you.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.